for tape, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Wednesday afternoon, July the 1st, 1987. Summer family camp meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Glenn Miller is the speaker of the afternoon.
Well, praise the Lord. That should be our theme song, praising the Lord. Amen. Well, I'm going to teach this afternoon for a while, and then we will have deliverance along with what I'm teaching about. The subject I'm going to teach on, which I will not begin to cover, which Gene and Earlene taught on a little bit yesterday also, and they didn't begin to cover it, is ancestral curses or curses that we're under because we've disobeyed God. And I feel it's one of the most important subjects that I can study at the present time. The reason I feel that way is because somewhere in this is the answer, I believe, to many of our physical problems. The diseases that we have in the land because of our rebellion against God, because of the curses that God says that He puts on us. And you say, well, God wouldn't put a curse on me. Well, we'll see about that before we're through this afternoon, what God says about that. And then we'll see what we feel about that, what you feel if you have violated any of these areas, or if you think your ancestors has violated any of these areas. And then if they have or you have, then God says you're cursed. So there's several types of curses. Curses can come because you speak against somebody or about somebody in a wrongful or mean or derogatory way. You can cause somebody to be cursed by what you say. Witchcraft is rampant in the land today, and they are cursing people in all kinds of ways. And from hundreds of years back, you've been able to hire witches and so forth, wizards and so forth, to place curses on people. But where did Satan pick these curses up? And the knowledge of it. He picked them up because he's mimicking God. For God says that He'll curse us, and we're cursed if we disobey the word of the Lord. So let's look at man's side of it here a minute. In Psalms 109, and verse 17. As he loved cursing, so let it come upon him. As he delighteth not in blessing, so let it be far from him. As he clothed himself with cursing, like as with his garment, so let it come unto his bowels like water, and like oil into his bones. Let it be unto him as the garment which covereth him, for a girdle wherewith he is girded continually. And if man likes to curse, then let that be his portion. Let it take its place like water in his bones, or in his bowels, and like oil in his bones. In other words, cursing will eat them up. In Exodus chapter 21, before we get through here today, I'm going to have some things that I want the young people to listen especially, but I'm going to have some things that will apply to their life today and to their future life to keep them from being cursed by God. Keep them so that they will be holy before the Lord. Exodus chapter 21 and verse 17 says, "And he that curseth his father or his mother shall surely be put to death." So the scripture says that if we curse our father or mother, were going to be put to death for doing it. And that doesn't sound like it's very pleasant, that death is the portion for cursing your father or your mother. So young people, even if your parents are wrong, sometimes they are, you still are not to rebel against them. You let God do the judging, and you're not to curse your parents or rise against them. You're to honor your mother and your father. There's another scripture that says, and I may read it, I'm not for sure, but it says that he that who holdeth his mother or father in light esteem, who just holds them in light esteem, you're cursed for that. In Deuteronomy chapter 7, now, witchcraft, sorcery as we call it, they work spells and do cantations and all against you. They work witchcraft. But there's such a thing that we've come to know today as spiritual witchcraft. That's worked people pray against one another and send curses to them. And that is an abomination to God, and the curse will come back on your own head as you do that, for God will not permit that. Now here in Deuteronomy chapter 7 and verse 25, and 26 it says, the graven images of their gods shall burn with fire. Thou shalt not desire the silver or gold that is on them, nor take it into thee, lest thou be snared therein. For it is an abomination to the Lord thy God. Neither shalt thou bring an abomination into thine house, lest thou be a cursed thing like it. But thou shalt utterly detest it, and thou shalt utterly abhor it, for it is a cursed thing. Now I'm not going to go into any study today on the things that the scripture calls an abomination. Maybe Irma will teach on that before this week is over, and maybe not. But the Lord has, through circumstances, revealed that things that are an abomination, and you bring them into your house, you can get cancer and other things come upon you and have all kinds of problems in your house. If you have things in your house that God says are an abomination. So you need to take that to heart if you haven't already. And you need to get your house cleaned out as best you can, and then pretty soon you'll find something else and you get rid of that. But there's owls and frogs everywhere you look today. And those are two things that, and there's lots more things, but those are two things that are a great abomination to God. These little pagodas in the fish bowls, those are an abomination. Those are a heathen temple. And you're bringing a heathen temple in your house when you have those little things in your fishbowl. If you've got one in your fishbowl, go home and get it out and destroy it. Break it up. And the Bible also says here that you shall utterly destroy these things. It doesn't say you shall give them away or sell them. It says you shall destroy them. And it reminds me about James Robinson here, these two verses, when Colin Davis gave James all those artifacts of from the Orient that he had, and they were worth about $1.5 million or $2 million, and Cullen gave them to James, and James was going over to look at them and see, and he was going to sell them to pay on his television program. And on the way over there, James wasn't driving, another person was with him, and James was riding on, and he opened his Bible to read, and when he did, he read, this is what jumped out of the scripture at him, these two verses I just read. Jumped out at him. And when he got, and he said to the person with him, he said, well, I can't accept that. And when he got over to Brother Davis's house, he told Brother Cullen, he said, and he showed him these scriptures, and he said, I can't accept it. He said, there'd be an abomination. And Brother Davis said, what should we do? And they decided to break them up. So they got some sledgehammers and broke them up, and Brother Davis or somebody, they loaded them up and took them down and dumped them in the lake. Now I saw last fall, a little item in the newspaper where somebody had found where they were dumping them, and they were scuba diving trying to retrieve these things that he had broken up and dumped in the lake. Well, it will never do them any good because they're abomination to God. They destroyed them, and so if they find them, they'll never be able to be of any value to them. We decree that to be so. Anyway, things that are an abomination, you're not to bring them in your house. Sun gods, a lot of these sand paintings, pictures and things from the Orient, Buddhas, all of this type of thing. They are an abomination to God. And if you bring them into your house, you bring a curse into your house. And you, I'm getting way off here. I had no idea to talk, but I think I'd better, it's come to me, so I better talk about it. Paintings that people buy from the Orient. Everywhere today, all kinds of little paintings. And a lot of these paintings have on the back of them prayers that are dedicated to whoever's God that the person who painted these pictures. They have heathen prayers back there in Chinese or Korean or Japanese or something painted back in there between the cover and on the back of the picture. And these pictures are dedicated to their God. And when you bring that picture into your house, you're bringing an item into your house that's dedicated to a heathen god, no matter how pretty the picture looks. If you've got pictures in your house that have pagodas and these things from the Orient on it, you need to get all that out of your house. If you have things in your house that have these dragons on them and firecrackers, we do not allow or have fireworks here at the campground. That fireworks came from worship to in China, from worship to heathen gods. And not only that, you're liable to get hurt and be injured on them. And you'll notice that there's dragons on all that stuff. Well, it's a pull, and everybody's pulled by it, but it's a pull from Satan. It's not a godly thing. Anyway, there's too many things I could tell about, but I'll talk about one more thing, and then we'll get on with what I'm supposed to be teaching about here. A boy who worked for us here when we first came here had a painting in his house one time, and it was in one of the children's rooms, and the children would wake up at night and scream and cry, and he'd go in there and there wouldn't be anything wrong. And finally, after a while, he decided to, something was wrong in there, so I don't remember whether he slept in the room or what he did. But anyway, this painting would light up and look like it was on fire in the middle of the night. He finally saw it happen, so they took the painting down and took it apart to find out what was wrong with it. And on the back of it was a dedication and a prayer to a heathen god, that whoever had to, so... When we have something and there's something in your house you feel strange around, get rid of it. There's something about it you feel strange about. A lot of antiques carry, if you don't pray over them and anoint them with oil, they carry demon spirits with them. Lots of antiques do. So if you have a lot of antiques, you need to anoint them with oil and pray over them. If they mean something to you or your family, why, pray over them and get rid of the influence that's comes. Deuteronomy chapter 5. Deuteronomy 5. We'll start with verse 29. Oh, that there was such a heart in them that they would fear me and keep all my commandments always, that it might be well with them and with their children forever. Go, say to them, get you into your tents. But as for thee, stand thou here by me, and I will speak unto thee. All the commandments and the statutes and the judgments which thou shalt teach them, that they may do them in the land which I give them to possess it. You shall observe to do therefore as the Lord your God hath commanded you. You shall not turn aside to the right hand or to the left. You shall walk in all the ways which the Lord your God hath commanded you, that you may live, and that it may be well with you, and that you may prolong your days in the land which you shall go to possess it. Now, the children of Israel had the opportunity for God to speak to them, and they refused it and turned it down. And they said, Moses, you listen, and then you come tell us. But they had an opportunity for God to dwell right in the midst of their tents, and to talk with them just as he did with Moses. But they refused the opportunity and said, we don't want to hear God. Moses, you listen to God, and then you come and tell us. So from that time on, the Lord said, Moses, here's what I say. Now you go and tell the people. And then we turn around and today and people say it's Moses' law because Moses is the one who was the mouthpiece. No, it's God's law. not Moses' law. God was just God's mouthpiece. And it's God's law. And we are to obey it. Chapter 6 and verse 3 says, "Hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it." He doesn't ask us if we'd like to. He says, observe it and do it. Verse 20 says, "And when thy son asketh thee in time to come, saying, what mean the testimonies and the statutes and the judgments which the Lord our God hath commanded you? Then thou shalt say unto thy son, we were Pharaoh's bondmen in Egypt, and the Lord brought us out of Egypt, or with a mighty hand." I'm going to reread that verse. "Then thou shalt say unto thy son, we were Satan's bondmen in the world or in the land of sin, and the Lord brought us out of the land of sin with a mighty hand." Is he bringing us out of the land of sin and from the bondage of Pharaoh or Satan? Amen. He's bringing us out today. He's showing us the way of deliverance. He's revealing to us the word of the Lord. He's giving us a desire in our hearts to study and to know his word and to follow and to walk after him, that we may be a people holy and righteous before him for his namesake. "And he brought us out from thence that he might bring us in to give us the land which he sware to our fathers." And he's bringing us out of bondage today that he might bring us in to the blessings that he has for us. "And the Lord commanded us to do all these things, to fear the Lord our God for our good always, that he might preserve us alive as it is this day. And it shall be your righteousness, it shall be our righteousness, if we observe to do all these commandments before the Lord our God, as he hath commanded us." And you'll notice back up here that it says, "Then thou shalt say unto thy son." We are to tell our sons and our daughters today the law of the Lord. The things that I'm going to talk about today, mothers and fathers should be discussing and talking to the young people and in their homes about these laws of the Lord, so that we'll not sin against God, but we'll walk before him in holiness and righteousness. Exodus chapter 20. Exodus 20. "Spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of sin, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me." America, you've got lots of gods before God. And the main one is the God of pleasure. And it's an abomination in the sight of the Lord. Nothing wrong with the kids playing baseball. There's nothing wrong with them playing basketball. But when it becomes a God, and it's a God to millions of people in America, then it's an abomination in the sight of God. I thank Jesus when he was a kid, played with the kids, and had a good time. I don't think Jesus was a sourpuss. I think Jesus laughed and enjoyed and rejoiced with the rest of the young people, with his brothers and sisters, and the other people, kids in the neighborhood. "Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and the fourth generation of them that hate me," or more literal translation is, "those who do not obey my commandments or my words." If we don't obey the word of the Lord, then we're acknowledging that we hate God. Because if we love the Lord, we'll keep his word. And then he says, "showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments." So I want to be one of those that he shows mercy unto, the thousands. And there's another place where it says that he shows mercy to 1,000 generations of those who keep his. So if there's a curse to the third and the fourth generation, then there's also a blessing to 1,000 generations if we keep the word of the Lord. Exodus chapter 34. Exodus 34. And verse 5 is where we'll read here. It says, "And the Lord descended in the cloud and stood with him there and proclaimed the name of the Lord. The Lord came and stood with Moses on Mount Sinai after he had gone back and rehewn the two stones that he had broke when he went down and found the adulterous affair that was going on in the camp. He's gone back now to the mountain, and the Lord has descended in a cloud and has stood with him and there proclaimed the name of the Lord. And the Lord passed by before him and proclaimed the Lord. The Lord God. Who is he? He's merciful and gracious. He's long-suffering and abundant in goodness and in truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin. But that will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and upon the children's children to the third and the fourth generation. Now, let's go over to Deuteronomy chapter 23. So we've seen that God says, if we disobey him, disobey his word, that he'll visit the iniquity of it unto the third and the fourth generation of our ancestral line. Deuteronomy 23.
Well, that's not my right verse.
Oh, excuse me. It is my right verse if I'll use Deuteronomy instead of Exodus. I just backed up when I was reading there to chapter 23 and forgot I was supposed to go to Deuteronomy. Okay. Deuteronomy 23, verse 2. A bastard shall not enter into the congregation of the Lord, even to his tenth generation shall he not enter into the congregation of the Lord. An Amorite or Moabite shall not enter into the congregation of the Lord, even to their tenth generation shall they not enter into the congregation of the Lord forever. The tenth generation is 400 years. And science has told us now that it takes 10 generations for the bloodline to be purified from mixed blood or mixed races. It'll take a 10-year span of time, a 10-generation span of time for that blood to become pure again. So, and the Lord knew that back here, see? And science had just found that out recently. So God knew that all the time, and that's what God says here, that is 10 generations. Now, what is a bastard? Who are the Amorites and the Moabites here? Let's look a little farther, because it concerns the rest of the part of the rest of our teaching today. Genesis chapter 19. Genesis 19, and we want verse 32. We want to start in verse 32 here of Genesis 19. And this is the story here after the history of Lot and his two daughters, after the angels have persuaded them to leave the city, and Sodom and Gomorrah have been destroyed by brimstone and fire. And so now they have found themselves a cave out in the mountains, and he dwelt there because he feared the people, and he and his two daughters. And verse 32 says, well, let's start with 31. And the firstborn said unto the younger, our father is old, and there's not a man in the earth to come in unto us after the manner of all the earth. Come, let us make our father drink wine, and we will lie with him, that we may preserve seed of our father. And they made their father drink wine that night, and the firstborn went in and lay with her father, and he perceived not that she lay down or when she rose up. And it came to pass on the morrow that the firstborn said unto the younger, behold, I lay yesternight with my father. Let us make him drink wine this night also, and go thou in and lie with him, that we may preserve seed of our father. And they made their father drink wine that night also, and the younger arose and lay with him, and he perceived not when she lay down or when she arose. They were carrying the things of Sodom and Gomorrah on with them. They didn't leave it back in Sodom and Gomorrah. It was right inherent in within them. Thus were both the daughters of Lot with child by their father. And the firstborn bare a son and called his name Moab, the same as the father Moabitess unto this day. And the younger she also bare a son and called his name Ben-Ammoni, the same as the father of children of Ammon unto this day. So those who were, the Lord said, can't enter the congregation, or the children of Lot by incest. And incest is a 10-generation curse. All right. The word incest means mixture or impure. A mixture or impurity. the word incest. And God tells us, well, let's look at Deuteronomy chapter 7 here. And then I'll make a statement about it. Deuteronomy 7, and we'll start with verse 1 through 3. When the Lord thy God shall bring thee into the land whither thou goest to possess it, and hast cast out many nations before thee, the Hittites, the Girgashites, the Amorites, the Canaanites, the Perizzites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites, seven nations greater and mighty than thou. And when the Lord thy God shall deliver them before thee, thou shalt smite them and utterly destroy them. Thou shalt make no covenant with them, nor show mercy unto them. Neither shalt thou make marriages with them. Thy daughter thou shalt not give unto his son, nor his daughter shalt thou take unto thy son. The Lord says that there shall be no mixed marriage. And then we turn over and we find Ezra and Nehemiah. And when they came back from captivity, that they had got involved in mixed marriages. And we find that that they divided them out and sent them back. But God says that a mixed marriage is an abomination to him. That is incest. And it carries a curse of 10 generations. So God says that the mixed marriages of the nations is, nationalities and nations is prohibited. Of the races. Is prohibited. God said that. And so don't you ever be party to any mixed marriage of the races. Because God says that it's an abomination. And it's incest. And it carries a 10 generation curse. Leviticus chapter 3. We've got lots of that in America and in the world today. And it's nothing but hardship and anguish for the children that are born into those families. It brings nothing but sorrow and heartache. Because they're not accepted on one side and they're not accepted on the other side. God says, but God's blessing is on the races when they stay and worship God together as their unit, as their nation. But God's house is open to all to come together. I'm not separating them out of the house of God. Nobody. God's mercy is unto all, and they're all welcome to come and worship in the house of the Lord. For God's grace and mercy is unto all men. But we are not to mix the races in marriage. That doesn't make one race superior to the other. None whatever. For God's mercy is unto all of us. That's God's business. And that's not for me to say that somebody is superior to somebody else. That's an abomination in my imagination. I was raised in Springfield, Illinois, and I was not aware of the abomination that went on in the South up until the last few years. And I wasn't aware of it until I actually moved back here. Even when I lived in California and the things that were going on, I was not aware of the abomination that was being done against the people of the South, the colored race, the black race. Because where I lived, I never thought a thing about sitting next to a black boy. It never bothered. My parents never had anything, ever said anything against it. I never thought anything about it. The people in our community never thought anything about it. I went to school and sat next to a black boy or a black girl. It was just the same as if my brother and sister were sitting there. And the same when I went to California out there. Well, there was no such problem out there. And the Spanish people out there, the same. We all worshiped together and served the Lord together. And then all of this began to rise and come up back in here. And all of that. And then when I moved back here and found out about it, I just couldn't believe it. I thought, well, where have I been all my life that I never heard about this? Because I was raised in a community and with people where everybody was your brother and sister. And if they needed help, you helped them and they helped you. And it never entered my mind that that I was more superior or less superior than they were. We were all equal. And that's the way I see it in the Word of the Lord in that respect. Leviticus. Where do I want to go? Chapter 3 and verse 17. Okay, we'll change our subject here. Verse 17 says, it shall be a perpetual statute for your generations throughout all your dwellings that you eat neither fat nor blood. What does perpetual mean?
Forever.
Then why do we make blood sausage and blood pudding and blood soup and eat the fat? God says it's perpetual, forever. Chapter 7, verse 22. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, this is God's law, not Moses's. Moses is just repeating it and writing it down for us for today. Speak unto the children of Israel, saying, ye shall eat no manner of fat, of ox, or of sheep, or of goat. Now, I notice it doesn't list fowl there. Let that be what it may. And the fat of the beast that dieth of itself, and the fat of that which is torn with beast, may be used in any other use, but you shall in no wise eat of it. For whosoever eateth the fat of the beast of which men offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord, even the soul that eateth it shall be cut off from his people. Moreover, ye shall eat no manner of blood, whether it be of fowl or of beast, in any of your dwellings. And whatsoever soul it be that eateth any manner of blood, even that soul shall be cut off from his people. And back in these days, here that we're reading of, I understand they just, the Lord killed them. But the Lord, there's more than one way for you to die, you know. But God's promised us, he's promised us 70 years. That's a promise for everybody in this room. 70 years of life as a promise. And if you don't live to be 70, then you've been robbed. And after 70 is just excess. Now, Moses got 120. And I can find no place where God ever changed the law that we couldn't have 120 years. I've searched and looked, and I can't. So I'm believing that we're entitled to 120. We're guaranteed 70. But we're only guaranteed 70 if we obey the word of the Lord. And if you eat fat and you eat blood, you'll get cholesterol, have heart trouble, and die from the fat. And if you eat the blood, we have found that blood has a cause. Now, I'm not saying this is in every respect, but it has a cause to bring on sugar diabetes and hyperglycemia. If it's in your history background where your ancestors partook of those things, and then you find hyperglycemia and sugar diabetes in your family line, you have a familiar spirit that's come down because you're cursed from your ancestral line eating blood. And heart trouble is the same way. But there may be many other causes for it. But that are two causes that I know of. Eating of blood and eating of fat. So we need to learn these things. We can break these curses off of us, come out from under them, and live in life instead of death. Now, there are 20-some scriptures in the book, both front and back, old and new, if you want to call it that way, in the book that tell you that you shall not eat blood. Not just these two I've read. There are 20-some scriptures, and there are about six or eight of them that's over in the books of the New Testament. Now let's look at something else. Leviticus 18. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge and rebellion. God said, do it. He didn't ask if you wanted to or if you'd like to. We say, I don't like to and I don't want to and I'm not going to. That's just our answer. But it's time we change. If we want to be part of that overcomers, that elite group, take the kingdom. Hallelujah. Amen.
Your last scripture.
My last scripture is Leviticus. My last scripture was Deuteronomy. Just a minute. My last scripture, the one I'm reading now, is Leviticus 18. The whole chapter. I just mentioned, I didn't read that. Over in Hosea it says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Yeah, but I didn't quote the chapter and the verse of it. Leviticus chapter 18. And we're going to... we're using quite a bit of scripture because I want you to understand that we're living by the Word. Not by theory, but by the Word. Leviticus 18. And the Lord spake unto Moses again, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, I am the Lord your God. Oh, that's enough right there. I am the Lord your God. Now he's going to tell us what about it. He says, After the doings of the land of sin, wherein ye dwelt, shall you not do. And after the doings of the land of Canaan, whither I am bringing you, shall you not do. Neither shall you walk in their ordinances. You shall do my judgments and keep mine ordinances to walk therein. I am the Lord your God. You shall therefore keep my statutes and my judgments, which if a man do, he shall live in them. I am the Lord. So if we want to live, the Lord says there's life in keeping his word, that there's life in it. None of you, now we're going to read some of what he tells us we're to do. None of you shall approach to any that is near of kin to him to uncover their nakedness. In the literal, that means that is to have sexual relations. When we read nakedness, you can put in their sexual relations. And it means the same thing. Why? Because I am the Lord your God. And we've already found that sexual relations within the family is incest. It carries a 10-year curse, or 10-generation curse. The nakedness of thy father, or the nakedness of thy mother, shall thou not uncover. She is thy mother. Thou shalt not uncover her nakedness. The nakedness of thy father's wife shalt thou not uncover. It is thy father's nakedness. The nakedness of thy sister, the daughter of thy father, or daughter of thy mother, whether she be born at home or born abroad, even their nakedness thou shalt not uncover. Now, the Lord put these scriptures in such a way that if it's your stepbrother or stepsister, that it's covered. It's right there. That verse covers the stepbrothers and stepsisters. If your mother's dead and you've got a new mother and a half-sister or half-brothers, or your father died and you've got another, and your mother remarried, and it covers the family that would be that would come by them. The nakedness of thy son's daughter or thy daughter's daughter, even their nakedness, thou shalt not uncover. For theirs is thine own nakedness. The nakedness of thy father's daughter, begotten of thy father, she is thy sister. Thou shalt not uncover her nakedness. And you parents need to explain what these means to your children so that they understand. We've got most of the adults, the young adults in here, and they understand what I'm saying. But these littler ones down here need to be taught that today and not when they're 10 years old and somebody else tells them about it. They need to be taught so they understand what God's law says, so that they're not cursed because of actions that they do, even as a child, even before they go to school, because of the neighborhood kids in the neighborhood. And if you don't teach them, they're going to know before ever they go to school. And you'd better teach them and teach them so that they know what God says about it, so that they're not cursed with a curse. The nakedness of thy father's wife's daughter, begotten of thy father, she is thy sister. Thou shalt not uncover her nakedness. Thou shalt not uncover the nakedness of thy father's sister. She is thy father's near kinswoman. Thou shalt not uncover the nakedness of thy mother's sister, for she is thy mother's near kinswoman. Thou shalt not uncover the nakedness of thy father's brother. Thou shalt not approach to his wife. She is thine aunt. All of this is a 10-generation curse. Thou shalt not uncover the nakedness of thy daughter-in-law. She is thy son's wife. Thou shalt not approach... uncover her nakedness. Thou shalt not uncover the nakedness of thy brother's wife. It is thy brother's nakedness. Thou shalt not uncover the nakedness of a woman and her daughter. Neither shalt thou take her son's daughter or her daughter's daughter to uncover her nakedness, for they are her near kinswoman. It is wickedness. Neither shalt thou take a wife to her sister to vex her to uncover her nakedness, besides the other in her lifetime. Also, thou shalt not approach unto a woman to uncover her nakedness, as long as she is put apart for her uncleanness, for the time of her period. That applies to husband and wife. Moreover, thou shalt not lie carnally with thy neighbor's wife, or defile thyself with her, adultery. And thou shalt not let any of thy seed pass through the fire to Moloch, neither shalt thou profane the name of the Lord of thy God. I am the Lord. Today, that's abortion. Thou shalt not lie with mankind as with womankind. It is an abomination. Homosexuality and lesbianism, an abomination. And today we're rampant with homosexuality and lesbianism, and they're marching on the streets and waving their hands and saying, "Here I am," and God sent a curse in the nation because of it. AIDS is a curse from God, and I don't expect them to find any cure for it. And I'm not afraid of it either. Neither shalt thou lie with any beast to defile thyself therewith. Neither shall any woman stand before a beast to lie down thereto. It is confusion. Bestiality. We need to teach our children that they don't play with the dogs and cats of your own or in the neighborhood. Because if you don't, the other children in the neighborhood will be showing them and teaching them about it. And I'm not naive, and you needn't be either. And we need to understand what's going on back in the neighbor's next door when mother's gone to the grocery store. And the kids are over next door at the neighbor's house. You need to understand what's going on over there, and you need to teach your kids so when these things happen, they'll say, God doesn't allow that. That's an abomination to God. And I'll have no part of it, and they need to run home and tell Mama. But if you don't teach them what it is, they'll never know the difference. And they'll partake of it, and they'll be cursed with it. I know there's a lot of you sitting here, adults, that have done it, and you know about it. You're not ignorant of it. I was born and raised on the farm, and I knew about the animals. And it never, but there were other areas of people who lived in the community who weren't born and raised on the farm, and they didn't or weren't aware of these things, and they made a plaything out of some of it. And God says it's an abomination, it's bestiality, and you're cursed. Your children are cursed. We need to be plain. What I'm talking about today right here, you need to talk about it just much plainer than I'm talking about it. So your children understand, so they know. It's nothing to hide behind. It's something that God says. He's put it out there in the Word, plain as day. And He says to tell your children about it. Tell your son. Explain it to your son. And that includes your daughter. Explain it to them so they understand what the abominations that God calls abomination are, so that they'll not partake of them and be cursed because they've done it. It's time that we woke up. It's time the body of Christ become alive with the Word of the Lord. It's time that we come forth to have a holy, righteous family and community of the Lord. That we'll not fall under the abominations that God says is of the heathen. But we'll be separated and separate ourselves from the abominations of the heathen. And teach our children so they'll not partake of the abominations of the heathens. If you don't tell them, they'll know and they'll partake of them. Defile not ye yourselves in any of these things, for in all these things the nations are defiled, which I cast out before you. And the land is defiled, therefore I do visit the iniquity thereof upon it, and the land itself vomiteth out her inhabitants. Ye shall therefore keep my statutes and my judgments, and shall not commit any of these abominations, neither any of your own nation, nor any stranger that sojourneth among you, for all these abominations have the men of the land done, which were before you, and the land is defiled. That the land spew not you out also when you defile it, as it spewed out the inhabitants that were before you. For whosoever shall commit any of these abominations, even the souls that committeth them, shall be cut off from among their people. Therefore shall you keep mine ordinances, that you commit not any of these abominable customs which were committed before you, that you defile not yourselves therein. I am the Lord your God. So the Lord says that you shall not do these things, and if you do, you'll be cut off. And today we may not be stoned or stood, but we were sick and we die of an early age because we've committed, or our ancestors have committed, these abominable acts, and God cuts us off at an early age, and we don't live to the full potential that we could live to because we're under these curses. Okay, this said that we shall not. Remember that now. You shall not. Okay, Leviticus chapter 20. Don't forget that. You shall not. Leviticus chapter 20. Well, we'll start with verse 6 of chapter 20. And the soul that turneth after such as have familiar spirits and after wizards, to go whoring after them, witchcraft and sorcery, I will even set my face against that soul and will cut him off from among his people. Sanctify yourselves, therefore, and be ye holy, for I am the Lord your God. And you shall keep my statutes and do them. He didn't ask you if you'd like to. He gave us a direct order. Do it. Why? Because I am the Lord which sanctifieth you. For everyone that curseth his father or his mother shall surely be put to death. He hath cursed his father or his mother, his blood shall be upon him. And the man that committeth adultery with another man's wife, even he that committeth adultery with his neighbor's wife, the adulterer and the adulteress, shall surely be put to death. And the man that lieth with his father's wife hath uncovered his father's nakedness, both of them shall surely be put to death. Their blood shall be upon them. If a man lie with his daughter-in-law, both of them shall surely be put to death. They have brought confusion, their blood shall be upon them. If a man also lie with mankind as he lieth with a woman, both of them have committed an abomination, they shall surely be put to death, their blood shall be upon them. Homosexuality and lesbianism. If a man take a wife and her mother, it is wickedness. They shall be burnt with fire, both he and they. And there shall be that there shall be no wickedness among you. If a man lie with a beast, he shall surely be put to death, and you shall slay the beast. Bestiality. If a man approach unto any beast and lie down thereunto, if a woman approach unto any beast and lie down thereunto, thou shalt kill the woman and the beast. They shall surely be put to death. Their blood shall be upon them. If a man shall take his sister, his daughter's father's daughter or his mother's daughter, and see her nakedness, and she see his nakedness, it is a wicked thing. And they shall be cut off in the sight of their people. He hath uncovered his sister's nakedness, he shall bear his iniquity. And if a man shall lie with a woman having her sickness, and shall uncover her nakedness, he hath discovered her fountain, and she hath uncovered the fountain of her blood, and both of them shall be cut off from among their people. Now let's look at that just a moment here. We're talking about the ministerial period, time of a woman. And this is talking about a husband and wife here, having sexual relations during the time of the ministerial period. And God says, you shall not do that, and if you do, you'll be cut off. And we've found in praying with people that a lot of female problems and a prostate trouble can be traced back to sexual relations during the time of the ministerial period of the wife. So, if you have practiced or done that, you need to confess it as a sin before the Lord and ask him to forgive you. In fact, I will try to cover that this afternoon before we're finished. But God says that you shall not do it, and if you do, you'll be cut off. And cutting off means you die an early age. So you young people, learn what we're teaching here today so that you have a long, full life, and you obey God's word and his commandments, and you live by them. And your family and your children will live by them. And they'll have life and not death. And thou shalt not uncover the nakedness of thy mother's sister nor thy father's sister, for he uncovereth his near kins. They shall bear their iniquity. If a man shall lie with his uncle's wife, he hath uncovered his uncle's nakedness. They shall bear their sins, and they shall die childless. And if a man shall take his brother's wife, it is an unclean thing. He hath uncovered his brother's nakedness. They shall be childless. You shall therefore keep all my statutes and all my judgments and do them, that the land whither I bring you to dwell therein spew you not out. And you shall not walk in the manner of the nations which I cast out before you, for they committed all these things. Therefore I abhorred them. But I have said unto you, you shall inherit their land, and I will give it unto you to possess it, a land that floweth with milk and honey. I am the Lord your God, which has separated you from other people. And we come to the Lord. We are a separated people unto the Lord, just as Israel was here. And God expects us to live a separated people unto him. You shall therefore put difference between clean beast and unclean, between unclean fowls and clean. And you shall not make your souls a bundle by beast or by fowl, or by any manner of living thing that creepeth on the ground, which I have separated from you as unclean. For you shall be holy unto me, for I, the Lord, am holy, and have severed you from other people, that you should be mine. And it says, a man, also a woman, that hath a familiar spirit, or that is a wizard, shall surely be put to death. They shall stone them with stones, their blood shall be upon them. Now, God has repeated twice the same thing over him. So he must think it's very serious. And the first time he said, you shall not. And this time he says, you shall be put to death. Well, thank God for grace. For if it weren't for grace, there wouldn't be very many of us left in here this afternoon. We'd all be stoned, the majority of us. Okay. Deuteronomy, well, chapter 21 here, I see there's something else here I need to look at in passing, which you're going to love me for. I see two things here that I need to talk about. Chapter 21, first five verses. Well, first six verses. And the Lord said unto Moses, speak unto the priests, the sons of Aaron, and say unto them, there shall none be defiled for the dead among his people. But for his kin that is near unto him, that is, for his mother, or for his father, for his son, or for his daughter, and for his brother, or for his sister, a virgin, that is nigh unto him, which hath had no husband, for her may he be defiled. That's if they died, and he helped to bury him. But he shall not defile himself, being a chief man among his people, to profane himself. And thou shalt not make any baldness upon thy head, neither shall they shave off the corners of their beard, nor make any cuttings in their flesh. Now, the Lord, first of all, I didn't have any place else, but I see I'm going to talk about it a second. Virgins. The Lord requires that the girls and the boys be virgins when it comes time to marry, that they're to be a virgin. And the Lord's, and only virgins will the Lord accept as part of his bride, and the virgins. And so the Lord requires that you keep yourself clean sexually from being an abomination and a stench unto the Lord. If you want God's blessing in your life, you keep yourself a virgin. The rest of the world, you may be the only one in the whole school or whatever. But you be what God wants you to be. And I don't care how they ridicule you or what fun they make of you. And don't go looking for a boyfriend or a girlfriend. God will supply that in his time and in his day. I love the testimony of the Goodsons, of Peggy and Bill. They were in their middle 40s, both of them, virgins in their middle 40s, and God brought them together. And God kept promising them and promising them and promising them that he had a mate for them. And here they got down in life this far, and they said, Lord, that isn't possible. And yet, God kept his promise. I love the testimony of Brother Lester Summerall. How the Lord told him that in right time, in time, if he would be faithful to him, he had the mate for him. And Lester Summerall, it's a wonderful testimony. He didn't go looking for a wife anywhere. Never even thought about it. One day down in Argentina or Brazil, I forget which place it was, there was a missionary there, and he was holding some meetings he was helping another man traveling with him. And the Lord said, that's your wife. He said, well, I don't even know what her name is. So it's, that's your wife. And it was his wife. And she knew it too. She knew it too. So you see, if we're faithful to the Lord is faithful to us. Now, Isaac, as best I can figure, Isaac was somewhere around 40 years old or something like that. I just thought come to my mind, but I've got it marked down somewhere, when they went over and got Rebecca for him. And the Lord supplied, see. So many others we could look at. But if we're faithful to serve the Lord, then the Lord will take care of us if we trust him, if we put our trust in. Okay. Now, the other thing in here, is you shall not make any cuttings on your body, tattoos or pierced ears. And pierced ears is an abomination to God, and he says, and it's a sign of slavery and harlotry. Pierced ears. If you've got your ears pierced, you need to renounce it and throw all the earrings away. Don't give them to somebody else. You throw them away. And anoint your ears with oil and ask the Lord to close those ears back up, for it's an abomination to God. And if they're not pierced, don't you ever let anybody pierce them. Ever. Don't care if all the rest of the girls in the whole world's got their ears pierced, don't you let your ears be pierced. For God says you shall not make any cuttings in your body. Either tattoos, and they're abomination to the Lord. The boys go overseas around and they get tattoos, and then if they want to get rid of them, it costs a fortune to get them off their bodies. They're marked for life with them. And they have to almost do a skin graft to take the things off. So, the Lord says, we shall not do that. Okay, Deuteronomy chapter 27. Deuteronomy 27, and we'll start with the 9th verse. And Moses and the priest and the Levites spake unto all Israel, saying, take heed and hearken, O Israel. This day thou art become the people of the Lord thy God. Thou shalt therefore obey the voice of the Lord thy God, and do his commandments and his statutes, which I command thee this day. And Moses charged the people the same day, saying, we don't need to read that. Let's go over to verse 15. Anyway, they stood on one mountain and cursed, and on the other mountain and blessed. Verse 15 says, cursed be the man that maketh any graven or molten image, an abomination unto the Lord, the work of the hands of the craftsmen, and putteth it in his secret place, and all the people shall answer and say, amen. Graven images, idols, gods, Buddhas, statues, Mary, Jesus, the prophets, the apostles, whatever. Lots of heathen gods. Cursed be he that holdeth in light esteem his father or his mother. And all the people shall say amen. Cursed be he, that's very good. Cursed be he that removeth his neighbor's landmark. And all the people shall say amen. And cursed be he that maketh the blind to wander out of the way. And all the people shall say amen. And cursed be he that lieth with his father's wife because he uncovereth his father's skirt. And all the people shall say amen. And cursed be he that lieth with any manner of beast. And all the people shall say amen.
Amen.
And cursed be he that lieth with his sister, the daughter of his father, or the daughter of his mother. And all the people shall say amen.
Amen.
And cursed be he that lieth with his mother-in-law. And all the people shall say amen.
Amen.
And cursed be he that smiteth his neighbor secretly. And all the people shall say amen. Or cursed be he that taketh reward to slay an innocent person, and all the people shall say amen.
Amen.
And now, verse 26. Cursed be he that confirmeth not all the words of this law to do them, and all the people shall say amen.
Amen.
So, we had here, thou shalt not. Then it said, you shall be put to death. And now it says, you're cursed. Yes, Daniel? I did skip 19. Cursed be he that perverteth the judgment of the stranger, the fatherless, and the widow. And all the people shall say, amen.
Amen.
Now, we have here verse 16, 17, 18, and 19 carry 3 and 4th generation curses, to my understanding. Verse 10, or verse 20 carries a 10 generation curse. Verse 22 carries a 10 generation curse. And then we come down here to the 26th verse, and we're cursed if we don't do what we have just read and conform to. Amen. And you say, well, if God cursed me, how do I get out from under it? Well, we'll work on that in a little bit. But you see, when we do these things, and God curses us, or allows a curse to be on us, it gives Satan a right to us in that area of our life, where we have rebelled and done contrary to the Word of God. Then Satan has a right to you in that area of your life. Because, in my understanding, you've opened yourself up to Satan, you've rebelled against God, and you come under the curse of God. Therefore, Satan can assign demons to that area of your life to torment and cause your problems. Turn over with me to Joshua chapter 7 here. Just half a dozen pages over. And Joshua is entering into the land, and right away, they haven't very long before just made these vows back here to the Lord. And we come over here, and then they're given another order. And we find that they don't obey it. And there's a great consequence that comes because of it. Joshua chapter 7 and verse 10. It says, "And the Lord said unto Joshua, Get thee up, wherefore liest thou upon thy face?" So Joshua knew something was wrong in the camp, and he'd gone to intercede before the Lord. And the Lord says to Joshua, "Get up off your face." And then he says, "Israel has sinned, and they have also transgressed my covenant, which I commanded them. For they have taken of the accursed thing, and have also stolen and dissembled. Also, they have put it even among their own stuff." So, what happened here? Well, let's see if we can find out what's happening here. And he says, "Up, sanctify the people, and say, Sanctify yourselves against tomorrow. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, There is a cursed thing in the midst of thee. O Israel, thou canst not stand before thine enemies until you take away the accursed thing from among you." So if we've got accursed things in our midst, in our possessions, then we can't stand against Satan, because he's got a right to you in that area of your life. You've got to get rid of the accursed thing and change your ways and ask forgiveness so that you can come out from under the abomination of the accursed thing. And now, the accursed thing was Achan had taken a wedge of gold, and he had, destroying it or whatever they were supposed to do with it, he had stolen it, and he'd taken it with some other things, and he'd put it amongst his stuff and buried it in the tent. And now, we go on, and they find out, Joshua finds out who did it, and he calls him to task, and Joshua says to him here in the 25th verse, he says, "And Joshua said, Why hast thou troubled us? The Lord shall trouble thee this day. And all Israel stoned him with stones and burnt them with fire after they had stoned them with stones." Now what happened? Achan rebelled against God and stole something that he was told he was not to touch. He took that which was anointed of God, either for the temple or to be destroyed, and he took that which he was not to touch. And what was the consequences of it? Not only did Achan get stoned, his wife got stoned, his sons and daughters got stoned, all of his cattle got killed, his sheep and his goats and his cows and his donkeys, they all got killed. His tent and everything he had got stacked up, and they made a big bonfire and they burnt everything Achan had, including his children and his wife and all of his goats and sheep and donkeys and all, and burnt them all. Not only did Achan die, but his whole family died because of Achan's sin. So when you sin or I sin, you're not only affecting yourself, but you're influencing others that are about you. And your sin will influence others. And it will be an abomination to the Lord, and you will be accountable for what you have caused others to do. You will be accountable as well. So he not only lost his own life, but his family and everything that he possessed. Now let's look at some other areas. Let's turn over to Malachi chapter 1. Malachi chapter 1. Malachi 1 is page 874. Last book in the Bible. That's easy. In the so-called Old Testament. That'll help you. It's just before Matthew. And here the Lord is speaking through Malachi, and in the 17th verse of chapter 1 of Malachi, he says, "But cursed be the deceiver, which hath in his flock a male, and voweth and sacrificeth it unto the Lord, a corrupt thing. For I am a great king, saith the Lord of hosts, and my name is dreadful among the heathen." So the Lord says you're cursed if you vow a vow to the Lord, to give the Lord something, and then instead of being faithful and giving that to the Lord, you give him something lesser or not as good as what you vowed. You're cursed God says, if you do that. It's Malachi chapter 1, verse 14. Find it, Malachi 1 and 14. Okay, Malachi 2 and verse 1. And now, O ye priests, this commandment is for you, ministers, for me and for the rest of us. And but the Lord says that we're a kingdom of priests unto him. So it's for, this can be applied to every head of every house. And now, O ye priests, this commandment is for you. If you will not hear, and if you will not lay it to heart, to give glory unto my name, saith the Lord of hosts, I will even send a curse upon you, and I will curse your blessings. Yea, I've cursed them already, because you do not lay it to heart. So the Lord says that our blessings, whatever blessings we have, will be cursed if we do not give God the glory and blessing and give him the glory for what he does for us. He will bless our blessings. He'll curse our blessings. Yes, our blessings will be cursed. What we are blessed with will be cursed if we do not give God the glory. What verse, girls, you two right here in the blue and the pink, what verse did I just read? Where was I reading? Malachi what? Was I? Did I? No, I read 2, verse 1 and 2. Malachi chapter 3, verse 8. It says, will a man rob God? Yet you've robbed me. But you say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and in offerings. You are cursed with a curse. You've got a hole in your pocketbook. It won't hold your finances. I don't care how much you make, you'll never have enough. You've got a hole in your pocketbook. You're cursed with a curse, for you've robbed me. And he says, the whole nation's done it. And that's true. That's true. God forgive us. God forgive us. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now wherewith saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. So if we are faithful with the things that the Lord gives us, we'll not only have sufficient to supply our needs, but we'll have in abundance if we're faithful. I can't meet my bills. No, you can't meet your bills because you've got a hole in your pocket, for you've robbed God. But if you're faithful with that which the Lord gives you, if you're faithful in little, then the Lord will give you much. We don't understand God's economy because God's economy is opposite to our economy. God's economy is opposite to what the labor unions teach. God's economy takes from the one who does nothing with it and gives to the one who has much. Because he was slothful. God takes from the slothful and gives it to the faithful. So if you want much, then you be faithful. And God will supply and take care of you as you're faithful with what he gives you. To be a faithful and a just steward. Jeremiah chapter 48. Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentations. Chapter 48. And verse 10, Jeremiah 48 and 10 says, cursed be he that doeth the work of the Lord deceitfully, and cursed be he that keepeth not back his sword from blood, a coward. So he who does not handle the word of the Lord and do it righteously, but does it deceitfully, does it for his own gain or to his own end, uses the word of the Lord or the sheep or the household of faith for his own gain, does it deceitfully, he's cursed. And there's lots of those who have and are in the land today who are deceitful in how they handle the things of the Lord. They're doing it for their own gain and their own glory. But God says they're cursed. And God says that his judgments begin in the household of faith, and we begin to see God's judgments coming in the household of faith. So, you say, I want Abraham's blessings. And we sing the little song that Abraham's blessings are mine. His blessings are mine. If you want Abraham's blessings, you walk in the word of the Lord, and you won't have to worry about Abraham's blessings. For if I keep God's word, God will see that Abraham's blessings will be mine. As I walk in his word and keep it and apply it to my heart and life, God will see that I'm blessed, I'm blessed, I'm blessed. And I'll be blessed because I praise and worship the Lord and uplift the name of the Lord and keep his commandments and walk in them that I may be a holy and righteous for his namesake. Okay. But if we don't keep the commandments of the Lord, then we get the curses that come upon us because we don't. Deuteronomy chapter 28. Deuteronomy 28. Deuteronomy 28, verse 15. This is the opposite of the song that we sing about Abraham's blessings. We'll get Abraham's blessings if we keep from these things. And here's what God says to us. In verse 15, but it shall come to pass, if thou wilt not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe to do all his commandments and his statutes, which I command thee this day, that all these curses shall come upon thee and overtake thee. Now this is God speaking, telling Moses to tell the people that these curses are going to come upon them. He says, cursed shalt thou be in the city, and cursed shalt thou be in the field. Cursed shalt thou be in thy basket and in thy store, food. Cursed shalt thou be in the fruit of thy body, and the fruit of thy land, and the increase of thy kind, and the flocks of thy sheep. Cursed shalt thou be when thou comest in, and cursed shalt thou be when thou goest out. The Lord shall send upon thee cursing, vexation, and rebuke. And in all that thou settest thine hand unto for to do, until thou be destroyed. Nothing left. And until thou perish quickly, because of the wickedness of thy doings, whereby thou hast forsaken me. And the Lord shall make the pestilence cleave unto thee, until he have consumed thee from off the land, whither thou goest to possess it. The Lord shall smite thee with a consumption, and with a fever, and with an inflammation, and with an extreme burning, and with the sword, and with blasting, and with mildew. And they shall pursue thee until thou perish. And the heaven that is over thy head shall be brass, and the earth that is under thee shall be iron. And the Lord shall make the rain of thy land powder and dust. From heaven shall it come down upon thee till thou be destroyed. If you were my age and was in the 30s, you saw that literally take place. And the Lord shall cause thee to be smitten before thine enemies. They shall go out one way against thee, and thou shalt flee seven ways before them, and shalt be removed unto all the kingdoms of the earth. And thy carcass shall be meat unto all fowls of the air, and unto the beasts of the earth, and no man shall fray them away. And the Lord shall smite thee with the botch of Egypt, and with the emrods, and with the scabs, and with the itch, whereof thou canst not be healed. No healing for you. Doctors will do you no good. They'll find no cure for it. The Lord shall smite thee with madness and with blindness and with astonishment of heart. Madness, insanity, heart trouble, and blindness to the word of the Lord, unable to understand it. And thou shalt grope at noonday as the blind gropeth in darkness. And thou shalt not prosper in thy ways, and thou shalt be only oppressed and spoiled evermore, and no man shall save thee. Thou shalt betroth a wife, and another shall lie with her. Thou shalt build a house, and thou shalt not dwell therein. Thou shalt plant a vineyard, and shalt not gather the grapes thereof. The curses and the results of not obeying the word of the Lord are disastrous. They're terrible. We should look at these and say, I don't want any of those things to come on me. I'm going to study what God says that I shall not do, and I'm not going to do any of it. Thine ox shall be slain before thine eyes, and thou shalt not eat thereof. Thine ass shall be violently taken away before thy face, and shall not be restored to thee. Thy sheep shall be given to thine enemies, and thou shalt have none to rescue them. Thy sons and thy daughters shall be given to another people, and thine eyes shall look and fail with longing for them all the day long. And there shall be no might in thine hand. And the fruit of thy land and all thy labors shall a nation which thou knowest not eat up, and thou shalt be only oppressed and crushed away, so that thou shalt be mad for the sight of thine eyes, and thou shalt not see. And the Lord shall smite thee in the knees and in the legs with a sore box that cannot be healed, from the sole of thy foot unto the top of thy head. Verse 45. Moreover, all these curses shall come upon thee and shall pursue thee and overtake thee till you be destroyed, because you hearkened not unto the voice of the Lord thy God to keep his commandments and his statutes which he commands thee. And they shall be upon thee for a sign and a wonder, and upon thy seed forever. There we're back, the curse that follows us. Because thou servest not the Lord thy God with joyfulness and with gladness of heart for the abundance of all things. Verse 58. If thou wilt observe to do all the works of this law that are written in this book, that thou fear this glorious and fearful name, the Lord thy God, and Jesus is his name, then the Lord will make thy plagues wonderful, and the plagues of thy seed, the curses coming down to our ancestral line, even great plagues, and of long continuance, and sore sickness, and of long continuance. Moreover, he will bring upon thee all the diseases of Egypt, which thou wast afraid of, and they shall cleave unto thee. Now, listen to this. Also, every sickness and every plague, which is not written in the book of this law, them will the Lord bring upon thee until thou be destroyed. So in case God missed anything, he added in there that those that's not in here, they can come too. If we do not hearken to the word of the Lord and apply it to our hearts and desire to walk in the word of the Lord. Okay, we've touched on some of the abominable things, but that's not our purpose of teaching this afternoon. But what do we do about this? What's the answer to the curses that we're under because of our own sins or the sins of our ancestors? How do we get out from underneath the curses of our ancestors? Well, the Lord showed us, has shown me and others, and I never heard anybody teach on this until after I'd taught on it. Now then, I've heard the Lord has having many others teach on this subject, and praise the Lord for it, because he never gives something just to one person, because that person might think that they had a great revelation, and God doesn't want that to happen. When he gives something someplace in the nation to somebody, you'll find that he gives it to somebody else here and there too as well. It's not a thing that's just given to any one person to teach. So if you think you've got a revelation, forget it, because God's already given it to somebody else too. And you'll find that to be true. But here's my way of explaining this. John 3:16 says that, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Now, we have the opportunity to come and be saved. But God said that he loved the whole world. And the whole world has a possibility of being saved. But they have to accept and believe that Jesus is their Savior. They have to confess their sins and acknowledge and make Jesus Lord. And acknowledge that he died on the cross and that his blood is for the remission of their sins. And until they do that, they will not be saved. By the same token, it is written that Jesus became a curse on the tree, so we don't have to bear the curse. And so Jesus became the curse for us so that we can come out from underneath the curse. But we have to apply and appropriate that to the areas of our lives by which we're bound by these curses that God says that are visited upon us because of the sins of our ancestors or our own sins to the third, the fourth, and the tenth generation. Now, it's a possibility that some of these curses may run back for thousands of years, because Satan will try, once he has a legal right in a family line, and he has assigned demons and familiar spirits to follow that family line, it will be their duty to try and find somebody to reestablish that curse in the family line before the third or fourth or tenth generation runs out. And they will work very hard to get somebody to do that over again, so that that curse will not run out. So there's a possibility that some of these curses may run for thousands of years in our family line. And I'm of the opinion that every family is under the curse of incest and the bastard. Because in 400 years, and the many ramifications of family life in 400 years and 10 generations, there's a possibility that everything has happened in the family line back there to bring us under the bondage of these curses. That's my opinion. And so, and I believe that. That's my belief. I may be wrong. There may be some that haven't fallen, that Satan has been able to trap in this area. But I think that it doesn't hurt us, to each one of us, to consider that we're under the curse. And then to apply and appropriate that Jesus became a curse so I don't have to bear the curse. That he hung on a tree and became cursed so I can come out from under that curse, because Jesus became that curse for me. But I have to apply and appropriate that. Just because it's written such doesn't make it so in my individual life. Just because it's written that Jesus died on the cross and died for me doesn't mean that it does me any good until I apply it and I appropriate it and I make it part of my life. So we have to do the same with Galatians 3:13. Jesus became a curse. He died on the tree and hung on the tree that I don't have to bear the curse. So, this afternoon, Irma, come up here pretty please and help me.
This is the end of part A. Please play part B. Thank you. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.